Almighty God, may your words only be spoken and your words only heard. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. In today's gospel, we have nothing short of a hostage situation. Okay, if that seems like a stretch, I'm going to say it is a stretch, but you're going to have to roll with me. Okay? As we know with hostage situations, some bad thing takes someone captive, and then there's usually some sort of negotiation to free the hostages, right, so that everybody gets what they want. The problem with a hostage situation is that any moment it can go badly. So what we need in this gospel, and what we need today, is the ultimate hostage negotiator. Now, you're probably thinking, Father Ben, we don't know you, and this is a lot. And the truth is, it is, right? I watch way too much TV. I think a lot about these sort of things. I love true crime. But the thing is, I was always thinking about MacGyver. Remember MacGyver from the 1980s? Right? He always found himself in sort of these hostage situations, right? With a little bit of chewing gum and with his trusty pocket knife and maybe a Tic Tac or two, he always managed to escape and blow something up, right? I don't know about you, I've never been able to do that with Tic Tacs. I don't know the secret, right? But what we'll see is that in most hostage situations, especially in today's gospel, they're not things the hostages can free themselves from, right? Hostages need to be set free. Captives need to be released. And that is what we see in today's gospel. Luke writes, "Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. Jesus, as we would expect, like all of us, are here on the Sabbath, right? He's teaching, and he's preaching, and he's doing the thing that we all know Jesus does. But then there's a surprise, right? This woman who is crippled and has been ailing, right, for 18 years shows up. And this is our first clue from Luke that something is happening, right? In most gospel stories where healing takes place, what happens? The people meet Jesus, right? They fall to their knees. They beg for forgiveness or for healing, right? But in this story, the woman is just minding her own business. She, like Jesus, came to church, right? She wasn't expecting healing. She didn't ask him for it. And yet, she's there and he's there, right? And I find it fascinating that this is not one of those traditional healing stories, right? She has no idea what's coming. And she is held captive. Right, held captive in a way that everyone can see. Right, this spirit of weakness, this binding by Satan, Jesus will later call it, is so obvious that you can't not see it. Right, she's hunched over, she's crippled, she is not whole. And you have to remember that in Jesus' time, your physical health, physical appearance, was intimately tied to how God had blessed you. Right, the most blessed don't experience illness or brokenness, right? But if you happen to be suffering, it's probably something that you brought on yourself. It's probably a punishment from God. What I think is also interesting is that as she comes to see, right, to come to service, to hear the word preached, the Old Testament read, she's not looking for healing. And I think that says something about her state of mind. Right, hostages sometimes fall in love with, and maybe that's not a great analogy, but sometimes give themselves over to their captors. Right, do you remember sort of the famous case of Patty Hearst in the 1970s? Right, she gets kidnapped by the Symbionese Liberation Army, and then in months, right, in weeks, she's making promo videos for their front. Right, she takes their side. She becomes one of the Symbionese Liberation Army. She gets Stockholm Syndrome. And the woman who was held captive on that day by her ailment, by the spirit of weakness, by Satan, has Stockholm syndrome. Right? She doesn't come to church expecting healing. How many times has she been there and it hadn't happened? Walked around her everyday life and she wasn't healed. And yet on that day, something is different. On that day, the hostage negotiator is there at synagogue with her. The text says, when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hand on her, she immediately stood up straight and began praising God. With a simple word of freedom, Jesus negotiates her release. Right? With this simple word and touch, the hostage is set free. And she stands upright, whole and healed, and begins praising God. Jesus, to sort of paraphrase Ronald Reagan from the 80s, right, doesn't negotiate with terrorists. They have no sway over him. There's no ailment that he can't speak to that isn't going to be released. With one word and one touch, she's set free. And if we finish the gospel there, it'd be a great story, right? The problem is, as I said in the beginning, as you will remember, hostage situations can always go bad at any moment. Hostages don't get released. And maybe, just maybe, the worst thing happens. Luke writes, "But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, 'There are 6 days on which one ought to work, or which work ought to be done. Come on one of those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath.'" See, what we begin to realize in this text is that the woman with the ailment is not the only person being held hostage. Right? We get the benefit of seeing it from 2,000 years later. Right? We get the benefit of knowing what's going to happen. But the crowd who hears these Pharisees, who hears these leaders of the synagogue, right, they don't know. But Jesus knows. Jesus knows that those leaders are being held captive just as much as the woman with her ailment. And the leaders appeal to Scripture, right? They appeal to tradition. They say, no work is supposed to be done on the Sabbath, right? And what's most interesting is they don't critique Jesus for what he did, right? Did you catch that? Did you see who they criticize? There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, right? Their criticism is of the woman who for 18 years was bound and on this day is set free. Right? These Pharisees, these leaders of the synagogue are held captive by their tradition. Right? They're held captive by their blindness. They're held captive by how little room they have for grace or for mercy or for rejoicing. And I think that if we pull back the onion even further, what we'll find is that the Pharisees are held captive by themselves. Right? The righteousness that they get by fulfilling the law, right? But more so the righteousness they get by criticizing others' lack of fulfilling the law. Right? The identity that is built in their own public faithfulness. Right? The self-righteousness they have is the very thing that holds them captive. I saw this funny picture on the internet this morning. It's not going to sound funny, but I promise it will be. There's a kid, and he's like laying on the ground, and there's a boot on his face, right? It looks like someone is stepping on his head. And in that frame, it says, "Before I was spiritually awakened." Right? And in the next frame, what you see is that same kid with the boot on his head, but his arm is in the boot, right? He is putting the boot on his own head. And then it says, this is what actually happens, right? The hostages are holding themselves captive. The hostages hold themselves captive because of the authority it gives them, the power they hold on to, right? The way that they believe they can save themselves. But on this day in the synagogue, Jesus has come to set all of the captives free. He has come to tell them exactly what is going on. He says, "You hypocrites, do not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day. He looks at their leaders and he knows their captivity, but he also knows their rules. Right? You're willing to untie an ox and a donkey and give them water. But you reject the unbinding of this woman. You reject the healing that she's received. You, my friends, he says, are the captives. As I said in the beginning, hostage situations can go either way. And for the woman with the ailment, it goes exactly the way we would hope. But for the Pharisees, less so. Luke writes, when Jesus said this, all his opponents were put to shame. Now I want to stop there because that might sound like a good thing, right? He got it, right? He told them where they were supposed to be. He put them in their place. But the problem with shame is that it's not going to change their actions. It's not going to change their behavior, right? They're not suddenly going to have their eyes open to what they should or should not have been doing, right? Shame is going to entrench them further. Shame is going to have them double down on the self-righteousness, right? Okay, well, maybe today we didn't do the right thing, but tomorrow we'll work harder and we'll get it more right. But look how the crowd reacted. All his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all of the wonderful things he was doing. Because the crowd gets it, right? The crowd sees the release of hostages. The crowd understands what is going on. And this is why I think this gospel is so important for us today. Because probably more than any other place in Luke, we get a picture of what Jesus came to do, right? And he's been building to this. Luke and Jesus have been building to this the entire time. All you have to do is go all the way back to the very first chapter in Luke. Before Jesus is born, Gabriel has told Mary that she's going to bear the Son of God, and she says this prayer, right? We call it the Magnificat. It begins, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices from the God within me." Right? And she continues in this prayer, and she says, "He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has come to help. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy." What we see in today's gospel is the good news that Jesus comes to bring. That Jesus comes to save every captive, to heal every ailment, to restore every brokenness. And to us today, if we're honest with ourselves, how many of us find that we are held hostage by something? Right? Maybe it's like the woman, maybe we didn't choose to be in this situation. Right? We're being held captive by illness or by addiction, right? By our family systems, by the dysfunction that exists around us. We're held captive by anxiety or worry or distress. Right? Or maybe we're more like the Pharisees. Right? We know the things that keep us bound. We know them, we don't want to do them, and yet we find ourselves returning to them time and time again. We bind ourselves. I think the truth is, if we all are held hostage, then the good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to set us free. Right? This is that play that Jesus is doing with the binding and the loosing. Right? The oxen are bound, the donkeys are bound, and you're willing to untie them. Right? But what about people who are bound? Either against their will or because of themselves. Jesus comes to offer freedom. Jesus comes to say to all of us, woman, man, child, you are healed of your ailment. You are set free. This is where we find the good news of the gospel. I often like to tell my congregation, we're all familiar with this image of Jesus standing at the door and knocking, right? It's we like this. The idea is that, okay, we open up the door, we let Jesus in. But I like to tell them that oftentimes the way this works is Jesus is significantly more like the SWAT team, right? He gets to the front door, he kicks it down, he pulls us out, kicking and screaming, saying, no, 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 we don't want to go. And yet, that is what he comes to do, right? For people who desire healing and wholeness and being set free from their captivity, Jesus comes to offer that. And for people who don't even know that they're being held hostage, Jesus comes to tell them that as well. Because this is the good news of the gospel. Jesus says to us, as he says to the Pharisees, ought not all of us, sons and daughters and beloved children of God, whom Satan binds, who we bind ourselves in innumerable ways, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day? The good news of the gospel is that in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, he finds each and every one of us and pulls us into freedom. So no matter how you are bound this day, no matter how you are being held captive, no matter the things that you hold with you, the things that you can't forget, the things that you regret, however your hands and family and lives are bound, whether it is by you or by someone else, hear the good news of the gospel. Jesus says to us what he says to the woman. You are set free.